I would just like to start by thanking all of you for being here today and welcoming Bill as our featured speaker or facilitator today. As he said, he's going to facilitate a discussion with all of us. And Bill owns a company called The People Business, available online at thepeoplebusiness.us. And he is a very successful coach, trainer, and business consultant with a specialty in HR consulting because he has spent a lot of years, 25 years, in training and HR. So with that, I'd like to turn it over to Bill.
Thank you, Carol, and welcome to everyone. Thank you for tuning in. Carol, 25 years. I didn't know you were going to actually use that number. I would have made it more like six. But okay. And I think most of you know Carol. I'm meeting some of you for the first time. Carol, as you probably know, is a former marketing executive with Procter & Gamble and is now has a very successful coaching, consulting, and training practice. And Carol and I have met at a couple of professional meetings. I really enjoy her mind and her style and her generosity, and we became friends and colleagues. And so that's why we're on the call together. And you'll find that Carol and I will probably just unrehearsed just sort of like bounce things back and forth. Before we got on the we actually did the formal part of the call, I put out this little bait to you saying that, you know, we're going to talk about leading in tough times, but I'd also like to hear a lot more from you about what's going on, and maybe we could share some best practices. If you do that, I'll cover a lot of the material that's on the worksheet, but I'll also give you my full notes. I'll email it to you so that you can see everything that we may or may not talk about based on our other discussions. So I didn't hear that's a deal. Everybody okay with that?
I'm fine with it.
Great. Because we've got Tony and Mike on the line and John and Julie. Is that correct?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, so I only heard two people talk. Where's Mike?
Yeah, Mike and Tony are here.
Oh, cool. Okay, so everyone's spoken now. That's good. Now we can get started. We've been using tough times as a theme for our teleseminars because they are indeed tough times. And they're very tough times, not only in your industry, but, as you know, nationwide and even internationally. Albert Einstein said that in the middle of difficulty lies opportunity. And that's really my focus right now. The tagline in my business is, at the end of the day, your success depends on people. And as leaders, we can influence a lot of the day-to-day activity of our folks if we use good leadership skills and techniques, and we may even be able to create a buffer for them in the midst of these hard times. So that's the theme I'd like to follow today. So if you were ever accused of being a leader, would there be enough evidence to convict you? Okay. Here's a real question. What's going on out there? Are you finding that your employees are responding differently vis-a-vis the economy? Or are there any leadership issues that have come up? Question mark.
Well, this is John. My biggest thing for my salespeople is they're just losing their foundation of loyal customers because, A, they're going out of business, or, B, they're cutting their budgets.
Yeah. Yes, indeed.
That is tough times.
Yeah, it is. So we have the salespeople are losing their customers, their loyal customers, the ones that they've – if anyone's been in sales, you know that those are the folks that when you really need something, you call them up, and they love you, and they'll do it.
Yeah.
And so losing them, that's your core, and that's really tough. How's that affecting their behavior and their outlook?
I think even for my senior folks, I'm sensing some frustrations. You know, a year ago it was like, hey, it's going to pass, but now 12 months later and it just doesn't. It's hard for people to see the light at the end of the tunnel. The light keeps getting dimmer, I think.
Yeah, and it's not that train heading the other way. It's just dimming out.
Right? it's me with my flashlight coming to hit you on the head.
Okay.
Motivating and encouraging folks is getting to be more difficult each day, I find.
You bet, because they're getting a lot of negativity out in the marketplace.
Yes.
And sort of being barraged by that. Anyone else have examples of staff that are affected by the current economic environment or the work environment?
Hey, this is Tony. I'd like to weigh in on that.
Yeah.
This is an engineering office, and we have a group of about 35 engineers, and our work is slowed down a lot less than what it used to be. And what I'm sensing here is a general nervousness, kind of a employees losing focus, a negative energy that's kind of spreading through the office, propagated by some of the partners, and kind of a mood to find things wrong with everybody, with each other. So it's disturbing to me because this is not what we're like at all when we're in an abundant type economy.
Yeah. You know, and what, Tony, you've described is human nature, that when things get tough, we tend to pick on ourselves. And are people sort of looking over their shoulders now to see if maybe there'll be a reduction in force or that sort of thing?
Yeah, I think there is a sense of that, and actually we had to let a couple people past 2 months go. But we're trying to hold strong to the group because we're very convinced, I am, that this economy is going to turn around, and I expect to see fruits of that turnaround starting in fourth quarter this year. That's my vision.
That'd be great. And you've been able to communicate that vision?
I'm trying, but not too successfully.
Okay. Yeah.
So, Tony, are some of the other managers in the other divisions some of the barrier to communicating that vision? You think other people on the management team are less positive than you are?
Yeah. You can. You can just sense a negative a vibe from them. I think, Mike, you can weigh in on that if you want.
Well, speaking from, I guess, the employee perspective, there's quite a bit of uncertainty to deal with, which makes things difficult. And you have to try to stay out of the negative to try to find some positivity in things, to keep going, in a positive light, and to see the light at the end of the tunnel, because sometimes it gets cloudy.
Yeah. Okay.
Is not always shared throughout the office.
I want to put some techno music in here and start dancing.
No, that'd work. Carol, did I hear one person come on just recently?
I think I did hear somebody else come on.
Who just flashed in about 2 minutes ago?
Someone from a 301 number? Maybe
okay.
It was some. Yeah.
Okay. Well,
maybe it was someone who came on and came back on or something. So,
Okay. So what we've got as leaders, and I wanted to make the point fairly early on that when we're talking about leadership, we're really not talking about management. And managing is managing processes and things. And leadership is what you've all just vocalized, is really getting people together and getting to move in a particular way. And that's really an art form. That's extremely difficult. And that's the thing that it levels all of us right now, because we're all dealing with people, regardless if it's engineering or if it's in healthcare. Or retail, we all are working with people and trying to help them through a fairly troubled time. If you notice on the handout, I've used the word bear, B-E-A-R, to talk about what some of the things that we could do to help our folks. I got bear from the bear market and then took a couple days trying to figure out how to put words next to the bees. But actually, the first B is about basics. And in tough times, one of the things that is extremely successful to do is just to go way back to basics and to work diligently, and we'll talk about this in a little bit, on your leadership skills, because often we're dragged in a lot of different directions, and sometimes we can have a tendency to drop those skills. The E stands for emotional intelligence, and we're going to spend a little bit of time there because we're not immune to the same pressures that we've described our employees are going through, our staff. So we want to make sure that we're in touch with us first. The A stands for attention. And another thing that the research is showing that falls by the wayside a little bit during these tough times is that our attention is divided and we're not necessarily spending as much time focusing on our folks and, again, in a leadership capacity. And the R stands for rewards. And now's the time to reward folks frequently. And as we'll discuss in a little bit, rewards don't cost a lot. So there's three questions that I'd like to go over with you. Perhaps let's just start with one of them. And leadership-wise, what's keeping you up at night?
Lack of sales.
Lack of sales. Okay. Anything else? Customers.
Well, you know, on the engineering side, this is Tony. It's
yeah.
It's lack of dominant. I should qualify it. It's our clients. We have a lot of proposals out there, and they're good clients that are going to come through. It's the slowdown of them moving forward on their. On their proposals.
Because they're looking for that fourth corner turnaround too, I'll bet.
They're all looking for somebody else to make the first move.
Okay. It's like a gunfight. Everyone, I mean, in a more positive sense, of course, but everyone's looking at everybody else in the eye. So waiting for somebody to blink. Yeah. Yeah. Other things that keep you up at night, retaining your staff, motivating your staff? You worried about anybody leaving?
Yeah, I worry about that. I worry how I can change the energy here, keep the staff motivated. I got a really great staff. It's important for me to keep these guys here because this defines who we are and what our capabilities are. And it would be very terrible if I start losing half my people.
You bet.
That would be a killer.
It would. And are these the same people that have loyal customers that might be looking for them to when things do open up a little bit?
And that's true. That's true. Our customers have their favorite A team, if you will, and they would. I'm okay. Still here.
Okay.
What was that? Oh, never mind.
Okay. Thank you. Let's look at some of those leadership basics. And one of them is that we need to continue to earn our spurs. And I've heard that most of you are doing that in terms of concern and being attentive to folks. Now may be a good time to help them grow and adjust to the times. If it's possible, can you spend some time on developing their expertise? Is there any online programs or anything they can do to if things are slow at the moment, to help them to increase their professionalism? Is that a possible?
Yeah, I think that's a possibility, especially if it's online. It's going to be hard to send people, cross country or different cities for a week for training. That's right now we don't. We're trying to conserve our budget to hang on to people, but online stuff, that I think that's very doable.
Yeah, there's some really inexpensive groups. There's one is called Lynda.com, Lynda, and they do a lot of online stuff, not only for professional PEs, professional engineers, but also some interpersonal skills and sales skills, that sort of thing, which might may or may not be helpful. But they can take that right at their desk, and as I said, it's fairly inexpensive.
Okay, thanks for that tip.
You're welcome. Leaders, again, lead by example, and they model behavior. And a lot of my clients are telling me that it's tough to come in every day and smile and give and be reassuring in how they speak and their body language. And it's a tough thing to do because, again, we're feeling the same way our staff is feeling, but that's a key. And try to remember that. One fellow I know is using a Post-it note, and he's got it on the dashboard of his car. And he has a great big smile written on it. And the other one is model how you want them to behave. And he's put it on the, again on the dashboard of his car, so that's the last thing he sees when he gets out of the car to go into the office, and it's the last thing he sees when he gets out of the car to go home. I think both are useful. So keeping in mind that we need to lead by example, and again, this is under that bare basics.
I like those ideas.
Say again?
I like those ideas.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, to build on that, I think that one of our watchouts, you said that people are fault-finding and trying to place blame. When we find ourselves doing that, because we have a tendency to go there when things aren't going the way we want, ask ourselves, what are we doing that other people, not to demonstrate, what we're asking other people to demonstrate? Because sometimes we want other people to do it for us. And I know that this is just one small example, but my son has a business with about 6 employees, and then they bring on consultants for other work. And their business was in threat of really suffering during this economy. And he really took the reins and followed through on modeling the positive behaviors, and he dipped into his resourcefulness as an entrepreneur and said, okay, I've started 3 businesses. Our business model right now doesn't work in this economy. What can we do with the staff that I have that addresses the needs in this economy? And they wrote a totally new business plan and were very flexible in the services they could provide. But they this year, they brought in more in the first 3 months than they had all of last year, and that has continued. And it's because of that kind of flexibility that he was able to bring to bear.
Well said.
Yeah, very good.
Some of the other, just to go over some of the basics, some of the other things we want to do is try and stretch folks. Again, this is a time when you might be able to get them either into a learning environment or get them to do some project management development, that sort of thing that you couldn't do when you're really, really busy. Delegate as much as you can. Even some of the routine things that you don't like doing, but everyone else is too busy to do it, now's a good time to see what you can delegate and delegate things that will help them to understand the business better or perhaps the job better.
Okay.
Right. It seems to me this is a low-risk time to delegate with things at a lower pace,
yeah.
Things you might not be, because you're going to have more time to follow up and work with people and check their work and so on and so forth.
And one of the last basics is assess your strengths and your weaknesses and see if anybody in the office has a strength where you have a weakness and partner with them. Do some reverse mentoring. In other words, ask them to tell you how they approach things if it's something that you're not good at. I'm talking to a couple of engineers, but I have a math issue. And so I try to reach out when things are slow to people who are really good at math to help me out. So it's a learning opportunity for leaders as well. If you notice on your worksheet, there are 6 leadership competencies. Would you just take a moment and put a check mark next to, in the box rather, to the things that you're really doing well now in terms of creativity and problem solving or team building, goal setting, developing your staff, communicating, decision making. And I think Tony, it might have been Tony or Mike, I'm not sure, talked about vision and your vision for the fourth quarter. So seeing things not as they are, but as they could be.
Yeah, that was.
Go ahead.
Yeah, that was Tony that had that vision.
Okay, Tony. That's a good one. But so put a check mark next to the things that you're doing fairly well, you think.
Well, you want me to answer this?
Go right ahead.
Okay, team building. I feel like I do pretty well at team building.
Okay.
What do you think? Like staff development, I probably need to work more on that.
Okay.
Communications. I could always work on that.
And just a moment, you need to, Tony, we all need to over-communicate in these times, because if not, then people will fill that with whatever what they think might be happening. And unfortunately, that's some negative thinking right now. So good one, yep.
Yeah, you're right. Decision. Yeah, I probably could work on my decision making in the spirit of team building.
Yep.
A little better.
Good.
So this is a good outline for things that I can be working on.
And I hope everybody on the call looks at the little squares that do not have a check mark next to them, and that's something absolutely that we can start working on. Good one. If you notice the next group is we're going to look at E of BEAR, B-E-A-R. The E part is the emotional intelligence. I really love this quote by Thomas Jefferson, and he said that nothing gives one person so much advantage over another as to remain cool and unruffled under all circumstances, and that is just absolutely true. And the way we do that is to be in touch with what we're thinking, and you've heard that saying over and over again, what are you thinking? What were you thinking? Generally after you make a mistake. And you ask yourself, what were you thinking? Well, emotional intelligence is a little bit different than the intelligence quotient, IQ. Emotional intelligence is your ability to perceive, to assess and manage your emotions and other people's emotions. And that's extremely powerful if you can do it. What you get for that is that you can understand and manage them. You can solve problems better that way. It's tremendously empowers your leadership skills. And you can avoid either problems or self-destructive behaviors, or also help other people to do that. So that's really important. We had a question that was sent to Carol.
Mm-hmm.
And it sort of fits into this discussion about emotional intelligence and our own insight into ourselves. So, Carol, what was that question?
It was, how can I prevent myself from being perceived as aggressive instead of assertive?
Okay. And was there any other information along with that?
No, there wasn't.
Okay. Whoops. Okay.
But I don't think that person is on the line today.
Oh, so we can talk about them.
I'm
just teasing. I'm just teasing. I know that.
But may listen into the recording, so it'd be nice if you do address the question. So.
Do you all have that handout that Carol sent, and I also sent, which had the difference between assertive and aggressive and passive?
Yeah, I do.
I have it here.
Great. Well, when we look at emotional intelligence, and I'm putting this next little piece on my website. I don't think it's up today, but it will be. It's again, it all starts with that self-awareness. So if we start a conversation, before we start it or before we get into it, especially with an employee, ask yourself, what are you thinking and what are you feeling? And those who pause and think about it for a moment are using really good emotional intelligence, and they're taking the time to take their own temperature. Here's an example. Let's say Pete hasn't completed a task that you want him to do, and you're on deadline. So what's your goal? And your goal is you want to get Pete to get the task done. So you say, hey, Pete, you get that done yet? Well, you may get some negative responses from that, and people might even think that you're being aggressive if Pete perceives that your motivation is only about you and your agenda. So, but there are options. So we could be really aggressive and say, okay, get it done right now. If you have the power, you can do that. Of course, when you use your power, you're always going to end up getting it fed back to you in one way or another, in a negative way. Sometimes people, when they're in the face of power, they become more passive, and they don't take the initiative in matters, and things sort of fall through the cracks. And so coercion and resentment can lead to passivity. But more than that, we may not have meant to sound like we were aggressive or to be condescending or to order someone around. We may have been just in a hurry and wanted to find out about that project. What the disconnect is when we don't stop and say, wait a minute, how am I going to approach Pete? And that's the key there, is just understanding our emotions and our goals. Self-awareness leads to better manage your communication so that your friends, spouse, fellow employees welcome your inquiry instead of kind of backing away from it. And try to think, how can I turn this into a win-win situation? If you focus on your motive through that self-awareness, you might start with a question like, "What do you need to accomplish? What do you need to accomplish this task, Pete?" And now we're taking a more collegial approach. You'll get the answer that you want, but it's just a different approach. So I thought I'd use that just as an example. Sometimes people can be perceived as being aggressive when really what they're just trying to get an answer to a question, but they're in a hurry. And what they haven't done is stopped, taking the moment, taking the breath, and saying, how is this going to, how am I feeling? How is what I'm going to say make the other person feel? And now I'm going to put a stop on that. And Carol, do you have other comments?
I was going to say that second part is really important because sometimes in the rush of things, that's what gets missed. We know exactly what we want to accomplish. We know what needs to be done. And crossing that line between assertive and aggressive, all that takes is not taking into account how it appears to the other person.
The curious thing about IQ, intelligence quotient, and EQ, which is the emotional quotient, is that there is an inverse relationship, not with all people, but with some folks. The Mensa, anyone here remember that genius group? Excellent.
Yeah, I've heard of them.
Oh, but are you a member?
No, I couldn't pass a test.
Okay, I want to talk about them, and I won't do it if somebody's a member. Well, basically, a number of those folks, as a matter of fact, the majority score very high, on their IQ and very low on their EQ, mainly because they're so intent on what they're thinking and the processes that they're going through and what they want to have happen, that they haven't stopped and sort of got involved with what the people that work for them want and need. Albert Einstein, apparently, I'm sure you all agree that he was a genius. At the same time, nobody wanted to be around him because he was such a pain in the butt. That's a technical term. Okay. So what we want to look at in terms of, and has anyone read Goleman's book, Goleman's, Goleman's book? Emotional intelligence. He has one called social intelligence. I would really recommend, if you get an opportunity, I think all leaders should read the emotional intelligence book by Goleman.
That's Daniel Goleman, yeah.
Daniel Goleman, thank you.
Yeah.
You see, she read my mind, which is emotional intelligence. She's saying, Bill's struggling with the guy's first name. Exactly. So some of the components, and there's some space on your worksheet for this, is self-awareness. Again, reading your emotions, gauging your impact. Often, again, when we get ourselves in trouble, we say to ourselves after, geez, what was I thinking? Why did I do that? And the concept with emotional intelligence is to ask that question before you speak or before you act.
Hey, Bill, this is Mike. I'm sitting here with Tony. Let me ask you a question.
Sure.
Would you ever consider aggressive, non-emotional response to be warranted?
Possibly. And the one area I'm thinking is safety. And the other one is law enforcement. In other words, if I had to let somebody know not to touch that wire, I would probably use some fairly aggressive language. And I think people in law enforcement sometimes have to do that to create a presence. Anyone else think of useful?
Yeah, I think in any type of emergency situation, you know, I sometimes use the example in training, you know, who do you want on the bridge when the ship is headed toward an iceberg? What kind of communication do you want then? It's different than what you expect during the daily run-of-the-mill kinds of things that go on.
Mike, does that answer your question, or do you have when would you use it?
Yeah, I guess it does, and I think what you're saying is right and probably warranted. I was thinking more along the lines of, let's say, you know, Pete isn't doing what you asked him to do on a continuous basis.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, at some point you got to stop being nice and get something done, you know?
You do, and I spent part of that 25 years, thank you, Carol, as an HR director, and I had to let people go, and went through the three-step disciplinary process. But through the whole thing, I found what I did was to make sure that they took responsibility for their behavior. So, for example, if Pete isn't getting his projects done on time, I might say, "Hey, Pete, what's up? And do you have everything you need?" "Yeah, I can't." I'll say, "Okay." And if they're legitimate, I'll help them out. And if not, I'll say, "Well, you know, Pete, you've missed a lot of projects. And what?" And I would ask him for some. What do you think you can do to change this up? Because it's really important. And if Pete doesn't come up with anything, I might say, "Okay, Pete, here's the deal. I need to give you a verbal warning." And what this means is that we need for you to behave in a particular way, and I've done everything that I know to do to help you out there. So you need to think about that and understand that it's okay if you don't change, if you don't hit these deadlines, you just can't do it here anymore. So it's up to you. And if it happens again, the written warning is exactly the same way. Pete, we talked about this. Pete, you need to know that I have tremendous respect for you. I'm not angry with you. You've chosen not to get these projects done, and I need to tell you that if you continue to do that, it's going to lead to your termination. And you might want to put dates and things in. But you notice I'm just saying, hey, Pete, it's up to you. I'm not bothered by it at all.
And I think that's the difference between assertive and aggressive. What Bill just modeled is a very assertive way of, to use another term you used in another teleseminar, Bill, leveling bold.
Yeah.
Yeah, of leveling bold. You know, this is the way it is. and it doesn't have to get aggressive. As long as you're willing to follow through on your commitments, and that's your reputation, that when you tell someone, okay, if this happens again, it will elevate to the level of a written warning, and then, you know, if, and that could lead to termination. If you're willing to go through those steps and people know you for that, then when you do level bold, they listen. You don't have to get aggressive.
Yeah. And I know we don't, we're not in, this isn't the topic, but you bring something up really good in that regard, Carol. Don't do like 7 verbal warnings and 7 written warnings, and then people don't really understand if you mean it or not. So after about the first time that somebody gets a verbal or written and then they're separated from the company, people get the message. But again, I'll do that so that they keep their self-respect. I'll do that so that they understand that I'm not miffed at them. It's just a choice. And Eric Byrne talks about transactional analysis. It's a big word, but basically what he's talking about is that sometimes as leaders, we're parental with people. We have the verbal finger, you need to do this. And then the person may respond as an adult saying, okay. They might respond as a child and be kind of petulant about it and maybe sneak around behind your back and do the things that kids do because they don't have any authority. Or they might come back parental with you. What Eric Byrne said to do, and it really, it's, I built my career on it, is just adult. You know, Pete, hey, we're in business to do this. Here's the deal. You need to do this. I've given you all the help I can give you. I really think it's time for you to step up and, you know, let me know if you choose not to, and we'll help you outplace. So, does that help, Mike?
Yeah, I think it does.
Okay, great. Wow. Carol, we're almost at the time.
You know, I was supposed to give you a warning at 1:20. You're going to have to fire your helper here.
Well, what I'm going to do, though, is I'm going to send you the note, my speaking notes, and you'll have everything that you were supposed to, that you might have wanted to fill in on your worksheet. But maybe we can spend the next few moments talking about how we can overcome some of those leadership issues that have that are challenges that have come up as a result of the economy. We talked about people being nervous and negative energy, there's a pervasive mood of being down, and sometimes people are even attacking each other. Is anybody doing anything that's working that we can share?
I would like to offer something, if no one has an example of what's working. I would like to offer something that I learned in my years at Procter & Gamble. I survived 7 corporate RIFs. You can imagine that having corporate RIFs annually, or 7 out of 10 years, is a pretty stressful situation for people to be going through. It was announced as a long-term strategy, and we clearly knew that every July our jobs were up for review and we may or may not have those jobs. What made it possible for us to function and remain very successful in that time was the level of communication that we got from our management and the positive spin that was put on everything that was being done. I always felt that management was telling us everything they possibly could, and that everything was being done for the good of the company and was extremely strategic. So I would just like to throw that in, because I think that communication in tough times is absolutely essential, frequent, positive, and reassuring to whatever extent you can be.
Thank you, Carol.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, thank you. I'm fishing around for best practices, and it sounds like folks are still considering that. Communication, I couldn't agree with you more, Carol. That's absolutely what we need to do. Find ways to recognize folks. In the handout that I'm going to send to you, there's a quote from Napoleon Bonaparte, And Napoleon said, let's see if I can pull it up here and get it correctly. He said that soldiers would do extraordinary things for a little piece of ribbon. So I think what he was saying was that, actually I heard that said also, that he had generals who would capture cities for a piece of, for a yard of ribbon. And what he's saying there is that it's not really expensive, but if you can find ways of recognizing people maintaining status quo in sales, if they are bringing in new people or calling on, really going out of their way to keep in touch with their longstanding customers, recognize them for it, maybe even publicly in a newsletter or something. There are studies that have been done, the same study has been done once every 10 years for 30 years now, and the number one motivator for people in business is recognition. And we might want to find out what they like. And I haven't mentioned spending any money yet because we don't have any budgets. But how are ways that you recognize your folks? Or name some ways.
Well, this is Tony. In our company, it's mostly been in the form of bonuses, money.
Uh-huh.
And that's pretty much it.
There's a book called 1001 Ways to Reward Your People. I'll try to find out the author because I don't know the first or the last name, Carol.
I don't either, but I do have a handout that 66 Ways to Celebrate People that I'm glad to share.
Okay.
And I can post that to my website or send it out. If you don't, I think you have a copy of it, Bill, but if you don't, I'll send one to you, and you can send it out to the folks you got back to.
I will do that.
Send it out to my group.
And vice versa, I'll send you the material that that I want to send out to the folks, to the people that responded to you.
And these are all silly things that cost, you know, a dollar or less or a little more. But
yeah, it's amazing because I think Tony mentioned that money is a little short right now. We're being more conservative with our spending, so we need to find creative ways to recognize folks. And if this were a motivational discussion as opposed to a leadership one, I would probably mention that money may not be the best motivator. And I would argue the case, but in another venue.
So, Bill, on that note, and in the interest of respecting everyone's time,
yes.
I wonder if we should wrap up.
Okay.
I would like to mention, is there anything else you want to say as a final closing remark here before I?
Well, yeah, again, thanks everybody for their time. And really, this bear leadership stuff is really all about change. And I'd just like you to assess what you're doing now, and maybe there's some things that you might want to do differently, an experiment. This is a great time to do it. And the last thing is, Carol, if we could find out who's on the line so I can send them the full notes, I'd be happy to do that.
Yeah, I have Tony's email. Tony, you can either send me Mike's or you can share with Mike.
Okay.
And we know Julie. And John.
Yes, I'm here. Bill, you have my email, right?
Yeah, who's this?
John Hemperly.
Yes, I do.
You sent me the notes yesterday.
Yep,
thank you.
Yep, I will send you. Yep.
Okay, and so Julie, John, Tony, anyone else? If someone else dropped off here, had to leave, so.
Okay.
My suggestion is, Bill, any follow-up, maybe we send it to everyone who registered. So.
Why don't we do that? That
How
sounds good.
That,
and I'll add
everyone
the...
gets it.
And I
would just... Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, that's okay. I just was going to say I'll add the those 66 rewards that you've... your handout to the ones I'm...
Right. I'll send you a copy of that as soon as we're off.
Good.
So, folks, we really are glad that you could be with us today, and we want you to know we are going to continue to do this on a monthly basis. So our next event is on the 16th of September, and it will be on improving interpersonal communications. And I will take the lead on that one. Bill and I are kind of going to go back and forth here, switching off who's taking the responsibility for the content. And I also want to mention that both Bill and I are offering a half-price coaching special, and that expires August 21st. That was for the summer months because we, in this business, those are our lean months. And the last chance to sign on for that is October 21st, and it will continue, the half-price rate will continue based on your agreement going in. If you're agreeing for 12 weeks, it continues at 12 weeks, if it's, you know, so on and so forth. And the last thing I wanted to mention is that we will have a recording of this teleseminar available. Posted on my website. And Bill, do you have the actual recording on your website or a link to it?
I don't have either at the moment.
Okay, so it hasn't been created, so you will have
create one.
You will have one or the other, right?
Yeah.
I'll be able to get to it. Okay, very good. So thank you all. Any last comments before we sign off?
Yeah, thanks very much, Carol and Bill. It's gave me a lot to think about.
Yeah, thanks for your comments, you too.
Thank you.
Okay,
appreciate it.
And thank you all for participating. It definitely adds to the conversation. And let us know if we can be of any further service. The recording should be posted by tomorrow, and follow-up notes will be to you probably by the end of today.
Great, thank you.
Okay, thank you all.
Thank you.
Bye now.
Bye.